encourage you this morning, to encourage you. This is our encouragement spot. We have a wonderful God, and we get to follow him regardless of if we feel like we're being shortchanged in the deal. God is always wonderful. He's always beautiful. He's always worthy of all of our praise and honor. And so with that, we go into our message today. So I'm going to show some pictures, and you just shout out. How do they make you feel? How do they make you feel? How does this make you feel? Warm, hot, worried. Yeah, all valid feelings. What about this guy or gal? I'm sorry? How does this make you feel? Anybody getting a little some butterflies in the stomach? Yeah. What about that? How does this make you feel? Nostalgic, angry. I'm impressed. I don't know, that's pretty an awesome hurricane. Probably if it was a different hurricane, we'd have different feelings. How does this make you feel? Aw, happy.
Worried.
David, one day you'll be a great father. How does this make you feel?
Hungry.
Hungry. Rosalind, if you want to go ahead and talk to Scott afterwards. How does this make you feel? Relaxed, blissful. You want to go there? Yes. Do I have any more pretty pictures? I have one more? Okay. Apparently I can't remember what I did or didn't do. Oh, never mind. This was my last one. You weren't incorrect. I forgot I had pictures in all of my slides this week. So what we look at, what we focus on, whether it's with our eyes or with our hearts, our souls, it impacts us. All these different pictures, they impact us in different ways. And that's what happens in life. What we focus on impacts us. It can make things happy, joyful. It can make us angry, stressed, nervous, different things. We can get jealous. It's a matter of what we focus on. We can see things and not focus on them. We can notice what's going on and not have it consume us, but as we focus on things, it impacts us, whether negative or positive. And obviously, in our life, God is supposed to be that utmost focus. He's not, as we build this kind of tower of the stones, God, he's supposed to be at the top. He's not supposed to be down there at the side. He's not supposed to be off the side doing whatever. God, he's supposed to be up there. Unfortunately, in our lives, he might not go to the bottom of the rock pile, but things happen. We get our focus off of him. Our heart isn't fully focused on him, and things happen. He slides down. He moves away. And we're smart enough people, we're good enough Christians to know that's bad. I assume you all know that that's bad, right? To have God less than up there and supreme, that's not a great place to be. But unfortunately, we do this. So as we look at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus been, the whole focus has been having your heart focused on God, keep God where he ought to be. And so this happens in different parts of life. We get off when things happen and get messed up when he's not there. We justify ourselves. Well, I'm not murdering somebody. I could be as ticked off as I want to be at my spouse. I haven't killed her yet. You laugh because that's dumb. I can do all the lusting I want in my heart as long as I don't go and have an extramarital affair. Once again, that's dumb. It might appease the letter of the law, unfortunately. Well, not unfortunately. Well, Jesus has clarified here. Well, yeah, that's not exactly filling what God said. We can be, last week we talked about prayer, fasting, meeting people's needs, all these great things, but if my purpose isn't to please God, it's not focused on God, he said very clearly, you've received your rewards. If you're praying to have, wow, look how great prayer is. Brian's using all these great big $5 theological words up there. Man, what a godly man he must be. Well, God's not hearing the prayer. God's not going to reward. If I do my fasting, so that way other people say, wow, look how disciplined Brian is. Look how disciplined this man or woman of God is. The heart is supposed to be for God, and so we can easily let things get off track, and things are very subtle in life often. Because people will say praises. We talked about this in Sunday school. Ken, are we supposed to encourage people? Yes, absolutely. We're supposed to encourage people. Scripture says here that if the teacher has said something good and impactful, meaningful, share it. Say, hey, no, thank you so much. This really blessed me. And the teacher is supposed to be a godly man or woman. Should be at a spiritual level where they don't. It doesn't just inflate their head, inflate their ego. It should just be reassurance. Okay, Lord, I was hearing from you today. But it should be about seeking God, doing God's will. We want to do God's will, not for just for God, whether other people know or not. And so this week, if we're off, it impacts a lot of things we do. If we're off, if we're not seeking God first, we don't have him first in our minds and in our hearts. There's a lot of worries and concerns in this world that can get in the way. Right, David? I guess this could be a glass half empty, glass half full picture. I know you were probably just being silly, but there, you know, there's certainly anxieties and oh, there's a lot more responsibilities with a child. There are certain things as we want God to be up there, because if we're focusing on God, even the biggest, toughest things aren't a problem. When Jesus was walking on water, what did he ask Peter to do? I'm sorry? Yeah, step out. Come on out here. What did Peter do? He did it. He walked right on that ice. No, he walked right in the water. He walked right to Jesus. His heart, his mind was focused on God, and he did a great job. What was Peter's problem? He looked down. Oh, pickles. I'm standing on water. This isn't ice. This isn't ice fishing. It's not 2 feet in Wisconsin in the winter. This is water. And then what happened to Peter? He started sinking. You see, our problems get when we take our eyes off of God, we take our focus off of God, even a little bit. I mean, it's not stupid to say, I shouldn't stand on water. I would fault nobody in this church, nobody in this world, if they say, you know what, I'm not going to go step out into the Gulf. We're going to go to the fishing pier this afternoon. I'm just going to keep on walking out into the Gulf. I can still catch red snapper till the end of the month. I'm just going to go ahead and walk out until I can find them. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. So that there's, in all of our anxieties, our fears, there's reality in there. Which, yeah, there's a potential problem. But we're going to see here, God is bigger than all of that. We want our heart, keep our hearts focused on God and keep him at the center, at the top. Doesn't mean he might tell us, well, go ahead and step to the right because this is a problem, but we want to be able to hear and discern from him. Let me pray and then we'll look at our scriptures for today. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your revelation of yourself to men and women who, unfortunately, at times were far off. We put you down where you ought not to be. Help us to keep you elevated and focused in our hearts this morning, this week. Remind us each and every day to continue to walk with you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to focus on seeking and trusting God, looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. You can follow along in your Bible, or if you like the words of the ESV, they'll be up there, or if you still prefer to hold them in your hands, you can do that. So we want to keep on focusing on God, and Jesus talks about this with treasures. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust can destroy and where thieves can break in and steal. Before we go on any further, well, treasure is something of value. Treasure is defined as a great quantity of something very much valued, which is collected, interestingly, the dictionary says, for future use. So it's valuable, and you collect it for future use. It's prized in your heart. It's highly prized. It's highly valuable. So treasure can be gold or silver, but it can be any sorts of things. But Jesus says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Don't just focus on the tangibles here on earth. This is all very corruptible. Thieves can take your gold. It's probably not going to be rust and destroyed, but our money can certainly corrode and our paper bills can go away. Thieves can break in and steal. just because you have thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions perhaps in the bank, and it might be federally insured, well, there's nothing, hopefully our government doesn't come to the point where they're not able to, if somebody were to steal your money, they couldn't step in, and because it's federally insured. But nothing's outside the realm of possibility. So just because it's somewhere where it seems safe, that's not where our security comes from, Jesus says. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, nor hurricanes or thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. What do I highly value? Jesus says, stop worrying about this earthly stuff, and we'll get into that in the next handful of verses. Jesus knows how to provide that earthly stuff and things that we need. So instead of focusing, and once again, the problem with the focusing, and I got to have more money for retirement, I have to make sure I have a whole cupboard full of food, I got to make sure I have all these other things and stuff here on earth, is your focus is on the stuff and not on the Lord. And that's a bad place to be in. If it's necessary, Jesus will provide it for you. If it's necessary, as we focus on him, he'll make sure you have it, perhaps even an abundance of things. Instead of laying up the highly prized items on earth, do this in heaven. Jesus meets us where we are. We want stuff. We want our stuff secure. And so Jesus says, all right, well, you want important stuff? You want secure? Well, in heaven, it'll be secure for you. The problem isn't that you've placed great value or significance and importance on something. You've just placed great value and significance on the wrong things. Well, we're created and wired to place value on things. Just need to do it on the important things. So the million-dollar question, what are treasures in heaven? And I have here what a couple of commentaries said, because, you know, I'm still kind of wrestling with this. What are treasures in heaven? What does this look like? Well, holiness of character, obedience to all God's commandments, souls won for Christ, disciples nurtured in their faith, doing righteous deeds, suffering for Christ's sake, forgiving one another. There's all sorts of righteous things, these godly things, where God they can't be taken away. These are highly prized things in God's economy. For whatever you highly value, that's where your heart's attention and focus goes. As a storehouse of either good or evil, the heart controls conduct. If it's more and more and more and more and more, that's what's going to drive us, and we're going to lose sight of God, I got to get this task. And we've seen people that are so laser-focused, and they get things, you know, putting all this energy and time, and they get perhaps even this wonderful thing created, but you've completely missed things. How many hundreds of thousands of men, perhaps millions of men, have messed up their entire families because of this? The career success, all this all going on, and look at this great career, I'm impactful, I'm important in whatever business, scientific, whatever community. But what about the family? It's come at the expense of the family. Just one for instance. Jesus says in Matthew 12, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of the good treasure bring forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. Whatever is valued in the heart, that's what comes out. So he says, Jesus says, your eye is like the lamp. It's the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? If my focus, whether it's the physical eyes, the spiritual eyes, metaphorical eyes of the heart, if that's what I'm focusing on, it can easily corrupt the body when I'm not focusing on the good things, the good stuff. It's putting some sort of light into your body. Is it good light? Is it bad light? It all depends on your life. And fortunately, this starts a crazy cycle here. So it starts with the mind. If your mind sees, you know, value, importance, absolutely, you know, money, for better or for worse, makes the world go around. You need money to pay for your mortgage. You need money for electricity, for water, for everything. So, but if your mind places value on something, then your heart, it can go to treasure. Oh, yeah, this is really important. We need this stuff. And then your eyes start to focus on it. And okay, yeah, this is what we need. And then your mind says, oh, yeah, this is really important. And your heart, oh, yeah, we really need this stuff. And it just goes around and around and around and around. And it's cyclical. At some point, we need to step out of that. If it's in the wrong spot, if it's in the things of this world, where the rust, the moth, the hurricanes can destroy, the thieves can steal. But if our mind says, and we know this, most of our minds say, "All right, God good, Jesus good." Well, maybe I can say that the tough part is getting that into the heart. Do I really treasure this? Do I really treasure the Lord? Am I really following love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Am I really there? Or am I just mentally God good? Well, one good litmus test is the eyes. Where are my eyes focused? Where is my focus? What do I got to get done? Is it stuff to build up my earthly kingdom, or is it stuff for the Lord? Fortunately, our actions betray our heart, and if we're good at looking at ourselves and self-evaluating, we can pick up on these things. And if we have good, trusted friends and relatives, whomever around us who can we trust to speak truth into us, can say, "Hey, Brian, you're off." And we want to be judging, discerning, because one person could be off, and usually we'll discredit that because nobody wants to think, "Yeah, I'm a horrible. I'm probably the worst Christian ever. I'm the worst Christian since Judas," assuming that he's in heaven. We can debate that another day. But if it, comes up more and more and more, then perhaps there is a problem here. So we get our mind, yes, the mind focused on Jesus, the heart filled with his love, and the eyes focused, and then it just consumes more, and then, wow, look at this beautiful weather here. But we can even look back then, and perhaps this needs, you need to be a little deranged and say, "Wow, look at the beautiful storm. Imagine that power. This is pretty awesome stuff." Or maybe that's just you're an idiot and you really like hurricanes and stuff like that I don't know. But we can see God's beauty, God's hand in things, and I'll further fuel into the mind and the heart, and wow, how awesome is God. We can have a good cycle instead of this bad, crazy cycle. Jesus reminds us no one can serve two masters. You'll either hate one and love the other. We can't have feet in both kingdoms over here. Yeah, I'm going to make sure I take care of number one. And I love God, but I love number one. And that's the little dance we play in most of our lives. You're going to hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And we won't say that we hate God, but because we put such a high value on money, God has fallen so far down short. Put such a high prize on whatever, God has taken second, third, fourth, whatever place. We don't see the value that he adds. And so what happens when God isn't first and foremost in our mind? Those anxieties creep in. I mean, if I don't have, man, I only got $100,000 squared away for retirement. I only got $1 million saved away. I only got $2 million. I still got a mortgage. I still got this or that. All this other stuff going on. And a lot of these things that we are anxious about are real and legitimate. Jesus talks about the basics here. "I tell you not to be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor your body about what you'll put on. Is life not more than food, the body more than clothing?" Isn't there more to life than all this stuff? Thank you, Boot Store, for the wonderful clothes that you do. God knows how to provide. The life's more important about this. And we know this. Our mind knows this. It's just tough when the rubber meets the road. And so four reasons Jesus gives. He says, well, look at the birds in the air. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they are? Look at these birds. God takes care of them. And it's not that they're idle and doing nothing, just sitting around, unless you got a sweet gig and you're sitting outside Bayou Joe's and you can be a seagull and just eat all the French fries that people throw in the water. But even still, they're doing effort. They're fighting those fish to get their French fries. God knows how to take care of things. God knows how to take care of his creation. It's really powerful. God has created this world in a way that which takes care of his creation. These birds aren't doing all this, but they're doing pretty well for themselves. They're still around. Number two, Jesus says basically, hey, anxiety yields no benefits. Verse 27, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" If I worry about this and consume it, and it's all consuming, is this going to help me? Does this bring on the benefits I think it's bringing by having all this focus? Well, we know, well, this is rhetorical. Obviously, no. We know that our anxiety is here to protect and keep you safe. So, if we got a big hurricane coming in, I'm worried about this. All right, then leave town. Then protect yourself. There's certain things where, as you know, anxiety, concern helps us to take care of ourselves. But if we continually consume ourselves with things, in reality, it creates high blood pressure, lack of sleep, poor diet, overworking oneself, et cetera, et cetera. These actually reduce your lifespan by worrying and being consumed. I need to have more of whatever. The anxiety isn't beneficial. Anxiety yields no benefits. Number three. Jesus says, well, look at the flowers. They're clothed. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And a little jab there, oh, you a little faith. Why are you worried about taking care of yourself so much? God will take care of you. God will provide for you. These flowers, this grass is worthless. It's just thrown into the oven, thrown into the furnace. As followers of Jesus Christ, at the end of our usefulness here on earth or whenever Jesus comes back, whatever comes first, we're not just simply thrown into the furnace. We're in heaven with him. We have incredible value. Look at everything around us that's excelling, that's doing well. God takes care of his creation. God has created this world in a way which takes care of his creation. But Jesus, at the end here with this little statement, oh, you have little faith, he gets to the root of it. Well, God's not really at the top. He's not. My root of my anxiety is a lack of faith in God. It's a lack of faith in God. Remember, faith is more than acknowledging his existence. I can acknowledge that little, what's that thing in Pier Park that's very tall and spins around? What's that called, Ferris wheel? It's a death trap. So I can acknowledge that that's probably the safest thing. You know, it's really safe. You're not going to fall and die. But do I really trust that if I go in that enclosed box, I'm not going to die? It's probably not going to happen, but I hate it. I did it once. I'm never doing that again. I don't have faith that I'm going to come off this doing well. My anxiety goes through the roof, and it's horrible. I need to preach more at myself, and don't worry, I do. It's not simply acknowledging, oh, yeah, it's good, but it's actually trusting. Rubber meets the road. And you all did it. You placed your faith today by sitting down in these chairs. Simple act of faith. You trusted these chairs would hold your weight. You probably didn't even inspect the chairs to make sure that, yeah, this will be sufficient. Or perhaps the pew. You just trust that this will hold my weight. And it does. God wants the same thing. Just trust me. I got you. I'll take care of you. You're more important than birds. You're more important than these flowers, as wonderful and as birds and flowers are. Reason number four not to be anxious? Well, the world worries. The world which does not know God worries. And the world which does not know God should worry. It says, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear for the Gentiles? Seek after all these things. Remember this context, Jesus, he's speaking to an entirely Jewish audience. The Gentiles, they do not have the gospel yet. The gospel that Jesus hasn't died for the world's sins yet. So in this context, it's you know these people who don't even know about God. It's the rest of the world. Perhaps 99% of the other people out there. Gentiles seek after all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. God knows that we need these things. God knows what we need, knows how we need it. Unfortunately, that doesn't line up with how we feel comfortable. If I can have all these things lined up, then it'll be good. Then I'll feel comfortable about it. We love having our ducks in a row. It makes us feel good. So Jesus gives a solution. He says, we'll seek first the kingdom of God. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious enough for itself. Sufficient is the day for its own trouble. I like how he says, seek first the kingdom of God. If you're first seeking kingdom of God instead of a reactionary thing, a penny of prevention is worth more than a pound of cure, is it not? If I'm already focused on God, then when these troubles and anxieties, and man, Satan, he's an incredible deceiver. He is so good at his job. We don't want to praise Satan or anything, but he is fantastic at what he does. He tricks us, he deceives us, he lies to us. And we don't, because, yeah. It bases it off of truth. I'm not sure what percentage of truth that Satan uses, but he knows how to kind of twist the truth around with us. So we're kind of, huh, did God really say that? We saw that with Adam and Eve in the garden. But seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. Make sure that God, he's elevated up there. Going to him in prayer. Being there with God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seeking first his righteousness. All right, Lord, what are you trying to do here? So all these things will be added to you. And those things, they were simple things. Food, clothing, which I would include shelter. They're simple things. They're easy things. They're basic things. They're necessities. The other stuff isn't a necessity. It's nice having 2, 3, 4 cars in your household. It's nice not having to juggle around stuff, but it's not a necessity. It's nice having most of the stuff we have, but is most of our stuff a necessity? Probably not. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious enough for itself. You don't need to worry about tomorrow. That each day has plenty to be worried about if you want to worry about things. Our solution, we want to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek him first. And so why are we anxious? Often, everything will be ruined if blank. Sort of situation, you can fill in that blank. Man, this is going to be ruined and awful if, and it could be our control problem. If it doesn't happen exactly this way, if I don't have this much, if this, there, that, whatever, we become anxious. So we do this, I encourage you, you know what, there is a likelihood for a hard outcome, for a difficult outcome, for a tough outcome. Yes, there exists a likelihood for unpleasant, uncomfortable, painful outcome, which may or may not be God's will. There exists that. Everything isn't easy. We live in a fallen world, a broken world, a hurting world. Jesus promised, in this world you will have trouble. So there exists the possibility, the likelihood of these things. But in these things, God's will is for him to reign supreme and in charge, for us to be simply a living sacrifice. In this world, we want we sometimes seek not God's will, my control, based on my will. We naturally protect ourselves from unpleasant, uncomfortable pain. Do we not? We don't like pain at all. We do almost everything possible to avoid pain, avoid discomfort. Once again, it's a natural thing. It keeps us from playing with fire, our hand in the fire, for too long. It keeps us from doing things. Our body hurts, our lungs hurt when we try to dive underwater for too long, unless you're John Camperman, can hold your breath for about 10 minutes. Most of us aren't that fortunate. But you put yourself in a lot of discomfort to be able to have that great lung capacity, haven't you, John? So the discomfort says, I need air, I need oxygen, I need stuff. But we need to find out what's the greater good in this situation. What's God's will? For example, confronting somebody who has wronged you. For most of us, it causes great anxiety, does it not? Entering into that tough, difficult, hard conversation. We don't like it. It's perhaps painful. It's uncomfortable. There exists the real possibility of them hurting you again. But we know Scripture says you got to do it. Unless you're able to, as a proverb said, it's you can overlook an offense, but if it's something where you shouldn't overlook, Scripture says if your brother sins against you, go to him. Tell him his fault between you and him alone. Similarly, if you have offended a brother, go to your brother, Matthew chapter 5. So sometimes, we can't, Scripture, God's will is not for us to avoid the pain, the discomfort. So there's that strong likelihood. Number two, we want to take a step back. When we have this anxiety, the difficulties, we're stressed out, we're worried, we want to take a step back from the situation. get things from God's perspective. Take a step back and seek first the kingdom of God. Is there a promise of God for you in this situation? Is there a promise of God? Perhaps a general promise, or perhaps a direct promise. For example, food and clothing. God says, I'll take care, took care of the birds and the flowers. I got your basics met. You're not going to starve to death. In fact, in this country, we don't really have a problem with people starving to death. Yes, we have hungry children, we have hungry folks, but we have so much food and so much of that stuff that people, this isn't like Africa or other third world countries. God has got my basic needs taken care of. He's going to take care of me. We know Romans 8:28. We don't want to just flippantly say it, but we know that for the good of those who love God, he works all things together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So, man, is this tough, anxious? Lord, you have a bigger picture. We can step back and, all right, Lord, I trust you. I trust what's going on. I trust that you have my back, that you got my good intentions. Your intentions are good. Hebrews chapter 13. It says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God's not abandoning us in this difficulty. God's not abandoning us in this tough time. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Man can do a lot. Go back to number one, hard outcome. Paul was stoned often enough. He was beaten. He was flogged. Man can do a lot of pain. Physical pain, emotional, man can do a lot. But compared to God properly elevated in our hearts and our lives, well, what's man got on God? So we want to focus on that. As Dave and Jan are going to come up here in a few moments, I would encourage us, we're going to spend a little time in prayer. Just seeking the Lord. And you know, some of you, you're doing great. Your hearts are there fully on God. Your minds are there with God. He is there, center of your life. And I'll commend you, keep on seeking him, because it's so easy. Just kind of slide away and then, oh, pickles, where am I? Oh, no, where have I fallen to? So we want to just keep on seeking him first. But for other of us, I guess that God pebble has kind of, he's not there at the top. And that's causing a lot of problems. So we're going to just spend 30 seconds in prayer. Either to bolster up, I would encourage you to bolster up, or just, Lord, help me place you as number one in our hearts and our lives. So let's take that time now, and I'll close this out. Lord, our flesh gets in the way. Our desires get in the way of you reigning where we know you ought to be. A part of us wants you there, but a part of us sometimes doesn't. We enjoy the pleasures of this life, the comforts of this life, sometimes more than the pleasures of you and the comforts of you. Lord, may you help us put you as number one in this life. Put you as number one in our hearts. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And I forgot to mention one thing. You can play that if you want, but I would encourage you. Last week we talked about fasting. A great way to put this God rock back on place is fasting. Taking 24 hours, whatever, away from, you know, I'm not going to have meals. If you can't do meals, something else. I would encourage you, and just focus on God. Replacing that time when you would have had breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, elevensies, whatever it is. Spending time with God. Pursuing him, pursuing that relationship. And as you're doing it, what other things perhaps, you know, hey, maybe I don't need to be looking at Facebook today. That's becoming a real distraction. All right, no Facebook today. You know, maybe I'm enjoying Mario Kart on my new app on my phone. Anybody else wasting a lot of time on that? All right, it's just me. So, you know, perhaps I'm just wasting too much time, you know. All right, setting that aside so, Lord, I can focus on you. And there's other things where, you know, all right, Lord, today I'm just really going to focus on you. And this is what God's heart is. He's going to answer those prayers. He's going to answer that heart. And slowly, he'll do the hard work of pushing that boulder back up there where it ought to be. So I'd encourage you, if you find, you know, I want you to center my heart, but I know it's not there. I'd encourage you to spend some time in prayer and fasting. When